Hi, this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I'm here today with Dan Zangroni, directly from Catanzaro, Calabria. So welcome, Dan. Thanks for being here.
Oh, I'm very happy to be here, Bob. I've been watching some of your podcasts, and it's something I've been involved with for a few years now. So I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. I wish I was sitting next to you in Calabria right now.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
I'm sure it is. And the food is a lot better there, too. So
yeah, it can be.
So a little bit before we get into why you're in Calabria right now, a little bit about your family background, where they're from, and what
sure.
started you on your journey.
In the genealogy, sure. Well, full-blooded Italian-American. I was born in a medium-sized city in upstate New York. It's called Utica. And the town gets its name from Tunisia, actually, in Africa. It's right near Syracuse. Central New York. So I grew up there in a totally Italian culture, basically. I attended public schools, so I also had a typical American, interaction with children my age, which were, whether they were African-American or Jewish or English and Irish, but a lot, some first generation, some older generation, of course, but I had a lot of different background of children that I grew up with as far as attending school. But my home life, of course, was full of the Italian background. My grandmother came over in her mother's womb in the boat in about 1908 or 1905. We had the traditional foods and a lot of the dialect, all Calabrian. And slowly and more recently, I began to realize there was a very large connection to the city I'm in, Cropani, in Catanzaro, Calabria, because a lot of people would follow cousins and friends to the cities in America when they got there. So many, many from Cropani ended up in Utica. And of course, they started their families there. They had gone there sometimes when they were only teenagers. Found a wife, of course. She was from Cropani too. there was dialect being spoken around the house. But again, it wasn't for us to learn. My parents were first generation, second generation Italian Americans, and very proud to be in this America that what a chicken in every pot. It was the 50s. And everyone, was going to get a house in the backyard. And it was just a great time. Streets were safe for kids and all that. So I didn't learn the language because of that. But slowly, as I got older, my family got older and I had some time. My kids were launched. I had some time on my hands. I started researching. My mom is still going strong at 91. And I started to research. I met a cousin who became a retired military. She really got into genealogy. She became certified genealogist over in Texas. She's retired military, but she really was digging up everything on our family name on my father's side. So that got me interested on my mother's side. We visited Italy. We brought my mom, me and my girlfriend, we brought my mom to Italy in 2016, and my fiance really said, let's go down to Calabria, because my mom was all about, we'll go to Rome and we'll go to Florence, maybe Tuscany, but yeah, my fiance was like, you should go down to Calabria, you got family down there, don't you? And my mom was like, oh, they left for Torino a long time ago because there was never work there. And she knew of them and she had visited them in the 70s, but up in Torino, way up north, where you hear everybody went because there was a Fiat factory and there was work, so anyways, when we got down here, and we had called a cousin in Pennsylvania and, connect with so-and-so and this and that. And sure enough, we were greeted by, distant cousins and other family. And we just had a wonderful time. And then we realized we should have put that on the list first because we only had like 3 days. But we really fell in love with the place. And then, of course, realized this is where my mother's grandmother was from and her grandfather. And so it really struck a chord, you know. And so my fiance and myself, Nancy, we got invited back the next year from some of the family that we had met. They said, oh, my son's getting married. No, you should come to the wedding, you know. So we did, and we got an Airbnb, you know, we got a B&B. But then we started looking, oh, these properties, you know, these are kind of nice. And
yeah,
again, Nancy just was like, I love this place. We should do this. So we started buying a property, you know. And we had some help because one of the distant relatives is a lawyer who helped us with the purchasing of the property. You know,
that's great. Yeah, I mean, that's just fabulous. You know, we came back with the same thing. We were back, I don't think we were back a day, and we were walking down the street. And we live in a very quiet place in New Jersey, Bradley Beach, and especially in the winter, there's nobody here. The summer people go home and everything. But we were walking down the street, and my wife says, I can't believe we're back here and we're not there anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she says, I wish we were there. I says, be careful what you ask for. I said, I'm ready to go. I'll pack up everything and go.
Well, I know it seems that way. Because once you do it a few times, the flight really isn't that bad. And then you realize, geez, it's not that hard to get there. I mean, you pay more to go to California from the East Coast. So, and the flights nowadays are you know, kind of, they're, you know, financially feasible and they're quick and they're pretty comfortable. So you know, before you know, you can get here pretty easy.
So I know a lot of people can be interested in this. So how did you find the place? Did you get a real estate? Did you just go traveling around town? Or?
Well, again, fortunate because we had some family that knew somebody who was planning. They knew that they had moved away north and they had a place. Now I have two places. But so the first place we bought, they knew that they kind of wanted to get rid of it. It's kind of a beach house down by the sea. So we investigated that, and they were, sure enough, they were like, yeah, no, we've been trying to sell it. So what was exciting, and we realized, is that there are a lot of places to sell here, but they're also very sleepy little towns that, you know, the tourists don't really even come down to Calabria. I mean, let's face it, it's all mostly agriculture. And so there's not a lot of people coming here. It's rare for anybody to say they went there to see the sights. Although I love
the sights are unbelievable there.
Yeah, because it's all ancient. And it's open, and it's more like archaeological parks. And, everything is more open air type of stuff. The national park, and it's a more natural environment. You could walking on trails and the old, you know, the rocks and the waterfalls, and of course the sea. The beaches are beautiful over here. Nice sandy. So, anyways, we went for it. It's a small place. It's really, you know, you're at the beach all day. You go there. You got your bedroom. You got your bathroom, and you got a little sitting room with a kind of a galley kitchen. So we got that, yeah, first.
Right, and so now the second place, you're renovating the second place, correct?
Yeah, that's where I am now. You can probably tell it's a little echoey because we don't have all the furniture in it. You can hear me okay, though, right? I mean,
No, you sound good. You sound like, you know, okay. We have a little reverb on your voice, so it sounds really good.
Oh, it's better. Okay, yes, not all the furniture's in. We're waiting for the kitchen to come in. But it's a great place. It overlooks the Casalino Plaza here, which, you know, is kind of a public square. But because it's such a sleepy little town, not much happens down there, but it's nice. It's open. There's like 7 churches in the area. And we started about a year ago to really work on it. There happens to be a small apartment attached to it that we now we have the one down by the sea listed as an Airbnb. The other one is not, well, we're just finishing it. Actually, my son is in town. He's down by the sea right now. And so, you know, he was in there. And then we have like a main house that has bigger rooms as the sojournal, like the living room with an attached bathroom and a large kitchen. And we have a terrace and we can go up to the rooftop. And we have a balcony out front and we have a couple large bedrooms. So it's a lot, but it's, you know, it's built to last 1,000 years. So
yeah,
it's structurally sound. There's no problems there. It was just upgrading it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So to that point, doing the work and upgrading is the two questions really is one, compared to the States, is it expensive? And two, are you able to find the workers to do it?
Yeah. Yes. I found the workers here. I'm lucky too, though. I was brought up in the construction industry. My grandfather and my father and my brother and my brother-in-law, we had a family business in electrical field, electrical contracting. And then I developed that more and I got into building and I got licensed as a builder throughout my career and as a building inspector. So I know construction and I know project management. But I was lucky enough, it was a cute little story, that when I did start the job, I was kind of wondering, how am I going to get this done? I was out on the balcony, and sure enough, there was a guy down there in the plaza. And he said, "Are you the American that bought that?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He spoke a little English. Come to find out, he lived in America for a few years, Antonio. And I said, and he was right away, he was kind of like, "Well, if you need any help," and I'm like, "Come on up." And luck, I mean, he's a godsend, really. He had all the tools, and he helped him with the way things are done here, you know, because I was trying to kind of insert my experience, but it hadn't been in Europe and it hadn't been working on homes that were built to last 500 years. So there was a little bit of a learning curve, but, you know, the principles are the same, although the electricity, of course, is 220 volts instead of our usual. And I was interested. It was kind of surprised to find out all my equipment, you know, whether it was my plumbing, kitchen faucets and cabinets, and even my tools I was buying, screwdrivers, so much. It's all made in Italy. I mean, they make so really? Much stuff here. All my electrical equipment. Yeah. All my heating and air conditioning. I mean, some of it may be assembled, you know, like a lot of places in China or something, but a lot of Italian goods. And I, you know, and slowly, Antonio, of course, helped me connect with the hardware store people and other tradesmen around. We needed, you know, some special doors. We wanted to customize a door. We have a kind of a sliding glass door that we decided to put in. We etched the glass. We had some nice features. But the expense, I would say no. I would say it's less. Definitely less.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com. Yeah, well, I would think certainly the labor costs are less, and yeah. You know, what's really amazing about, you know, Italy. We stayed in a B&B in Naples, and in fact, I'm gonna be interviewing Christina next week because she's right on the Spacca di Napoli, which is, you know, that the ancient street that splits Naples, and you know, you go in through this gate. And you see these walls and the stairs that people have been walking on for 800 years or God knows how long. And then you get into the apartment and it's washing machine, dishwasher.
I said that the other day. I was giving my son a ride through the little villages. And I said, you wouldn't know it, but this is where we got our glass etched. And we went into that guy's little shop, you know, in the back of the house, but he had a machine in there that was, you know, as big as a room, 10 foot by 12 feet or something, where he puts the glass on the machine, he plugs it into the computer, he puts any design on the computer, and the electronic arm etches the glass. So, you know, I mean, like you said, hiding behind this facade of ancient ruins, a lot of stuff is modernized, which is really cool.
That was one of the, you know, the most amazing things is going into, you know, some of these places, and from the outside, it's like, ooh, and then you get inside and everything's modern. And as we were talking before, that's one of my family's ancient homes behind me. And unfortunately, it's in total disrepair. And
You see a lot of that. Yeah.
It's sad because it could be such a, it'd be such a fabulous place. But when we were in, I don't remember if it was Montebello or Fasado. We had the tour done with Letizia Senisi from Italy Rooting. And we were standing in the piazza, and she was talking to one of the people from there. And she said, oh, he has a home for you that he says he'll refurbish for you. I said, what do you mean? And she says, he's not kidding. And we've been in contact, and he really wants to give me this house up in the mountains of Calabria. He sent me some photos, and I said, I don't know if I could take a house from you. I said, but maybe we could think of a way to fix it up or do something where we get people to go. Because what's really, really sad is, like you mentioned, some of these small towns. We were standing just before we left. We were standing in the piazza, and the whole street was just empty. Yeah. And there was still furniture in the places. And I asked, I said, what gives? And they said, most of them are still owned by somebody.
Yeah.
They live in Switzerland, Germany, Northern Italy. And they just have the stuff, but they don't do anything with it.
And keep it. Yeah. Well, the wonderful thing about that situation, which is not uncommon, is here in Kropany, they have kept those homes, and they've kept them up. Some really kept them up well. And they did. They moved, and they had to work in Switzerland, they had to work in France, they had to work in Germany, but they never gave up the home. But here they love to come back to it because we're so close to the sea.
Mm.
So when they come back for their vacation, the August time, they've got their sea, they've got their beach, and they just enjoy the beach, and they'll come here and they'll get up in the morning and they'll go down to the beach, because again, we have Kropany here in the hill, and what they call Kropany border, Kropany Superiore, and you go down to Kropany Marina, which is a little bit of a misnomer. There's no marina there. There's no boats do not pull into there. But, because it's near the sea, of course. And that's where you're going to find, wonderful restaurants, of course, but you're going to find your supermarkets. You're going to find your hardware stores, some of the stores that mine have, everything from clothes to light bulbs to party favors. So, and fashion, too. There's clothing stores, there's jewelry stores, there's dentists. The dentists are down there. And what's wonderful is they just 2 years ago, they finally finished, it took them probably about 5 years. They finished the road because they used to come up the switchback all the way up the hill.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they were able to straighten the whole thing out. So I get in my car, I'm down there in 10 minutes.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice. Because the other towns that are around, they still have the windy road.
Yeah, well, that's the way it was going into Fasado and Montebello. I mean, those roads. You're going up that this road, and you're thinking to yourself, my God, how did these people do this 100 years ago?
Donkey.
I know. But, they like my grandmother's family, they lived in Naples, and they would go there once or twice a year. And it was a hike from Naples to get there by train.
Oh,
and car,
you mean
and
people that actually had the
they had the money to do that.
They had the ability, but there was no car.
There was the wheel.
There was the wheel.
So since we came back, my wife and I have kind of been looking around and thinking, could we? You know, obviously we have to go back again and look. I have cousins in Toronto also that that I haven't met yet, but I said, well, maybe we'll go there.
Okay. Yeah.
Look and pull you also, but
yeah.
You know, what kind of advice? Well, before we get to the advice, what are the prices like? And especially now, because the euro is almost one for one, right?
Yeah. I think square meter, if I remember right, it's about 400 euro, I think, square meter. And that's really for something you can walk into and start sleeping in. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I furnish it, of course, but not like some of the other ones where you might pay 50,000, but you know, you might have to put another 50 in.
Which still isn't, that's...
No,
that's
not, no, that's because... Not well, but yeah, oh no, I know. And what you're getting for 50 usually is, you know, possibly two apartments, you know.
Really?
A large, very large house, yeah, with a lot of room and possibly what they call a magazine, which is the very bottom floor. You can kind of sell something. It's like almost like it's a little bit of a commercial space.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen some places like that. Yeah. So I didn't even know what that meant. So that's what that means.
Yeah. They call it a magazine, which of course we use it in military terms, I think.
Yeah.
But you will see like here in my village, there'll be a woman who she lives upstairs and you can go over to her and you can call her upstairs and she'll come downstairs. She opens it up. It's like a garage door and she's got all her cheeses in there and all the fresh cheeses that she makes and, you know, some marmalades and jams and stuff. So you get that sometimes with, and you know, you could really put a car in there. So it's kind of a garage too. That's an average price, I would say, but it goes both ways. It's you know, are you looking for something that you don't want to work on, or just you know, paint and furnish, or you really want something that you're going to have to hire some contractors for, you know?
Right. Well, we'll have to look. We'll have to look around there, and this way that we could hire you to be the general contractor.
I'm pretty excited these days because it is getting busier. We had a young couple come. They're just starting their empty nest. their youngest child is leaving high school. You know, I guess this is the last year, so they're thinking. But we weren't actually here in town. We were somewhere else, but we were in Italy. But we just happened to be here. But she came to this town because as a young girl, she lives in the Chicago area. She came to this town this time around her vacation time because she remembered as a younger girl, her grandmother was from here. Mm. So she came here as a young girl. So she started thinking about buying here. Same reason me. I mean, I'm really glad that I'm here because it, there's so much more of an impact in a way when you're kind of where your grandparents left from. So you're kind of like completing a bit of a circle. So anyways, we continued our, she happened to talk to the butcher that's just down below here. And he said, there's an American couple, blah, 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 that they bought up here. And she was like, really? Oh, so she ended up getting in touch with me through, you know, the social media. And we've been in contact the last month. So I did a PowerPoint. I went through the whole building that she wanted to look at, and I sent it to her. We've done everything through online. I did an inspection on all the systems, whether it's she's going to need this or that, and the heating and the electric and the plumbing and the cistern. You know, sometimes the water gets turned off here for, you know, at nighttime, and you need your little cistern that holds the extra water for a nighttime shower or something. You know, there's a lot of things you end up learning while you're here, of course, should be done. So, you know, I did, you know, an inspection for her and some recommendations. And so we're on the trail for that to, you know, purchase that property for them with the help of, you know, the contract. And we have the lawyers here. And I got a call because I am going to Sicily tomorrow for a few days. I'm headed back to New York, actually. But, you know, a friend of mine said, oh, I got somebody who's, you know, and I'm going to be going through Taormina. Did you go to
Messina?
No,
we went to Messina by ferry, but then we didn't go to Taormina. We went we went to Cefalù and Palermo because my wife's family is from Sciacca. So we
Okay. I'm going to be going through Shaka too.
Really beautiful place.
I like Shaka. We found a wonderful restaurant in Shaka called Buona Forchetta. I don't know if you got that one, but
I don't
put that one on your list.
That. I'll have to put that on the list. Our favorite place of every place that we did, other than, the places where we went with the family was, of course, but Sheila was just.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ah. Yeah, I like that place too. Yeah.
What an amazing place.
It's got the castle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just so many wonderful things to do and places to see. And so, what always rings in my head is what a very popular saying here was piano, just take it easy. You'll get everything in. Don't worry about it. Stop tranquilo. Don't worry about it, And it's a Calabrian thing mostly because, they work so close with nature, with the earth.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
They know, and especially, some of the people that I know, I'm close with some family, some friends that have the olive oil. I mean, to understand the olive oil, to understand the olive tree, I mean, it's almost mystical. I mean, it's just the way it works with nature. And it's been around for thousands of years and how oil was just this commodity that was, life preserving,
Well, it was almost like, it was almost like salt in a way. Yeah. It was like money there. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
300 years ago.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, and also don't forget, it was light too. They would use it to burn and they would use it on their skin and the health aspects. They knew there was so much good to it. And the tree is so beautiful, the way it turns its leaves during the seasons and the days. It's a silver side and a green side. And there's just an intelligence in the tree. It's really interesting. And you're just surrounded by them here.
Yeah, well, one of the best meals that we had was outside the palazzo there. They had a whole thing set up for us. And, to your point, everything, nothing was bought. Everything, the Capicola was, I tasted it. And I said, I've never tasted, we don't have stuff like this in America. And they said, oh, we still make it the way we did 200 years ago. We kill the pig on the day after Christmas and the cheese was all made there. And the olive oil was, they gave us a big thing of olive oil to take home that, like you said, it's almost like liquid gold.
Because we're processing so much in America, everything gets processed so much that's where it gets lost. There's not a lot of processing to it. They try to keep it done by hand. Most of the people that I know, they just finished all their spaghetti sauce. They've got, 25 jars. They put all the tomatoes in the thing. There's three, they have to take a full weekend. Everybody, passes the jars and then pours them in. And then it's like a fire brigade, And now the sauce is ready for the winter, And the mushrooms, wow. We're right near the bottom of what they call the Sila, which is the national park. And the mushroom, they just know, it rained yesterday. 2 days we're going up to the Sila. And the mushrooms are out. Very controlled, too. The food is very controlled, as well as the seal I found interesting because you have to have, of course, like a fishing license, you need a mushroom license,
Really?
And don't get caught, it's 200 euros bang or something, but you have to have a certain basket for the mushrooms because the basket is woven, a typical basket, and the spores will fall through the basket, stay in the forest, They catch you with a plastic bag. They catch you with another fine.
Wow. That's
you're picking mushrooms. You're shaking them off. You're leaving the spore. You got to, so you want to, there's just a lot of tradition, like you said, for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's the way it's done because it's what they call the old country.
Yeah, well, they obviously know what they're doing, And I got that sense. And, and that's why I tell people it's, our first trip to Italy, we went to Rome and Sorrento. My son was a baby and, we just spent a week in Sorrento. And this trip, we kind of saw a whole different side of Italy. I tell people, if you've never been to Rome, you have to go to Rome for us. And if we spend any more time there, like lengthy time, maybe we'll go to Florence. But I said to everybody, if you know where you're people are from, it's a completely different experience. There's
It'll choke you up.
Yeah. My wife kept saying to me, don't cry here, you know.
No, yeah, it's true, though. It's emotional, and I think that's the way it's meant to be, you know.
Well, I'm a firm believer that nothing happens by accident. And,
sure,
you know, there's a, you get this sense that the people who are no longer with us somehow are watching over and know that you're there. It's hard to explain, but you get that feeling.
I hear you. Yeah. Well, it's exciting here in Cropony, and well as Calabria. I mean, you know, just made Time's list of one of the best places because I'm a little worried it's going to get discovered.
Too much, yeah.
But when you fly into La Mezia Airport, and right around the corner is the Stazione if you come in by train. But there's a very large LED screen up by the airport. And I was looking at it. I was waiting at the airport to pick somebody up, and I was looking at it, and it looked like Las Vegas advertising because they had the ladies, in the bikini or whatever on the beach, and it's larger than life. But it's for Tropea, you know, which is very touristy. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful as well. But I can see, tourism is kind of getting a kickstart. Now here in Cropony, again, it's exciting because we've got some people coming in that I'm working with that want to buy. We're fixing up. We're investing. They love to see the fresh new eyes. Someone come into town and say, "No, you have got a great town here. You can do it." You know, because they've been sitting around here. You know, the old men are talking on the park bench every day, all day for the past 15 years, going to get their coffee and them saying so. And that's just natural because that happens anywhere in any town. But there is money coming in. There's announcements here that they did finish the road coming up. They're working on the churches. They're scaffold. They're being restored. Some beautiful churches, you know, frescoes and such. 11th century, you know, 12th century. There's another thing where some family members donated to the city a palazzo, like you. You know, it was the family compound. Mm-hmm. They had the most money. It's on an arch, kind of a hilltop. It's one of the higher points in the city. It looks very similar to what you got behind you there. The same wrought iron, the same small stones that went in, the somewhat, simplified architectural features, but still for that day and age, you know, wonderful. That's supposed to get a refurbished. They want to do kind of a spa tourism center there. So there's some exciting things happening. We have a young mayor who's been really pushing things. We had a couple of young guys that went down to the beach, took over a place, refurbished it. Brought a younger crowd in. So there's some really nice things happening. And those, you know, as usual, because I've been in community development before too, for a lot of my career. And you've got to go and work with the people that live there because they've got something at stake, you know.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You've got to get what they call the stakeholders.
You know? Right. So now you don't have your citizenship yet. Are you going for it?
No, I do not. I'm only here for what the law allows. 3 months in, 3 months out.
Yeah. So are you considering it? Because I'm in the process.
Yeah.
I've got
everything. I've got all the documents. So now the next stage, the gathering of the documents, almost 2 years, but I had it easy, but it's just the bureaucracy. Figuring out how you have to apply. Oh, that one there. Oh, that this one there. So I've got all the documents now. So the next thing is going to get them all, whatever might need to be translated.
Yep.
Because my case is through the mother. So it has to go to the court.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's kind of a slam dunk because everything is in order. And you have to get that information first. No sense of going down the road collecting the documents if you don't qualify.
Right.
So I found that out first. And the way I qualified was the great grandfather did not naturalize until well after, almost 20 years after my grandmother was born in the United States. So maybe it was 18 years or something. So meaning my grandmother was born an Italian citizen, really.
Right. Yeah. Same with my dad. Yeah. That's the way my father was.
Okay. Which my mother was, which I was. But of course, back then, we're born in America. Fantastic. No, we didn't ever think that, you know, to go and get Italian citizenship. Especially after the patriarch there was denouncing the king of Italy, you know. So, but yeah, I will have that. Hopefully, I don't think it'll be this year. Obviously, it's the end of the year. But by the time they, and of course, COVID put the whole thing on a back burner.
Really slowed
so it's been longer than probably usual. But I would recommend, you know, working with a lawyer, especially, you know, when you have a court case.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm doing. I interviewed a couple of attorneys and you know, I asked one of them and he said, I'll do it. You just have to pay for the paperwork, you know, whatever the paperwork costs. So I'll take care of everything else. So I really lucked out. And then I found out, one of my cousins, two of my cousins actually live in San Diego that I never knew, Piomalo. And one of them is an attorney at the consulate in Los Angeles. So he said, when the paperwork's done, call me.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
Oh, you're lucky because you have the home there, so you could establish residence real easy. And
I've established a residence of the town, but it sort of expires every year, kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, you have to renew it until you. Yeah,
it's not permanent. But one of the things that sort of made it easy was when the great grandfather came. He was in Utica. He has children in Utica. They died in Utica. They were married in Utica. My parents were born in Utica. You know, so everything was pretty much in the city of Utica, New York. Yeah.
So that's good. If for people who, you know, are thinking about either, you know, looking or purchasing or what couple of pieces of advice would you give them to start out?
Probably the first thing, you know, you kind of get your feet on the ground. I would say, you know, do you want to be in the south of Italy? Do you want to be in the Tuscany region? You know, I would think you have to kind of visit a little bit and get some of the, you know, the ground, you know, get your feet on the ground. So that you get an idea. Oh, and of course, there's the reading, you know, and just the due diligence of what the towns are up to.
Good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, if there's kind of a surge, like I think we're having here, like I said, we've got a couple people, other people buying. We've got some government funding. Oh, by the way, speaking of government funding, well, I could go on about my project, but that's another, I can get to that, but we take Italian language classes for free here.
Oh, nice.
We go right to the school. It's kind of continuing education, adult education classes. They're funded, the teachers are there. They're funded, you know, by the school system and the government, I'm sure, public education. So, and of course, we walk to the school. It's like two blocks away. And a side note is that school is getting renovated and they're moving the school next door to my house. How do you like that? Because next door to my house is the old, well, it's a very old elementary school. And then it grew out and they made the other school probably in the 60s. And it became like City Hall, you know. And now, since I moved here 2 years ago, they said, you know what? City Hall has grown. So they went to another building a few blocks away, refurbished it. So the building next to me, which used to be a school, then it was City Hall, has been empty, which has been nice because I got a lot of parking area. But they just told us at the school last week that they're going to renovate it. So they're going to come over here to this place next to us for the temporary setup. So now I just go right next door to the school. It's really, and it's wonderful because, and I had to take a picture the other day because my fiance had gone with two friends to see another, they were up in Rome. They had come from America. And I said, nobody's going to believe this, but I'm the only student in this class today. And there's three Italian teachers speaking to me. Three beautiful women, too. How do you like that? So I think, I mean, they have some people that have come from Ukraine, you know, because of the war, of course. They have other people that have come from Morocco, or one of the young guys that came from Egypt. So there are people that under certain circumstances end up near here or nearby. See, we're very lucky because the school is here in Kropany. Mm-hmm. And the teachers even come from Catanzaro. You know, it's just half hour. But we're very lucky to have the school here in Kropany, because there's other people coming from other towns trying to get to here to take the language. And they'll teach them English too, some of the other people, because whether they're from Egypt or Morocco, and like I said, Ukrainian. We had other people from Africa, I think, in Nigeria one. But we're certainly the only Americans. And a lot of them are like, why are you here? You know? It's a wonderful thing to be able to take advantage of is free language classes.
Yeah, that's fabulous. That's really super to have that. I mean, I'm like you, you know, my parents spoke it, and, you know, usually when they didn't want us to understand something, they would, you know, speak Italian. It's sad because, you know, other nationalities in the States when we were growing up had, you know, they had Hebrew school, they had Polish school, and the Italians didn't do anything like that, unfortunately, you know.
I did have it. When I got to high school, I did take it, but, you know, it was conversational and, you know, hey, I'm high school. It's like, well, I'm never going to use this. And I had other plans anyways. So it didn't sink in, not much of it sank in. And a lot of what we would have learned probably, like you say, you know, where your parents came
from. With dialect, yeah.
Yeah. The teachers that are teaching us, they're like, no. No, that.
I found out when we were in Calabria that the Calabrian dialect is not anything like Italian.
No, but that's what I mean. Yeah. And I'll sit there and I'll like listen. I'll sit there. I'll listen to a couple guys talking, or, you know, and I'm like, what? Because I can listen to people, you know, talk, and I can pick out the words, but there's a lot of.
We had this little group that was entertaining us when we were there. And he sang this song, a mangiacrapa,
mangiacrapa.
Yeah, and I play guitar, so I said, "Can you send me the words? I'd like to learn how to play it and sing it." And he sent me the words in Calabrian, and I was like, "Whoa!"
oh, yeah, you're right. When they spell it out, it doesn't look
it doesn't look like anything.
Because I've seen some guys on Facebook, they do the dialect, and you can't copy and paste and translate it.
No. I didn't even attempt it because when I looked at it, I said, this isn't going to translate into anything. Yeah. So I have the music part down. I'm getting there with the words, but it's tough.
Well, yeah, I love music. I've played music for years professionally.
So, Dan, one other thing I wanted to ask you, if you know. We see a lot of places for auction. Is that safe?
Yeah. I got some personal experience with that. I didn't put in any bids for auctions, but I did go to Sicily back in January with a fellow who, he's an American, but he has his wife and kids up in Milan. And he does a lot of work with auctions. And we operate a Facebook page that has all the auction properties. He's got them all categorized, and it's a great tool to work from. He ended up bidding on one in Sicily, and he won it. And he was, you know, surprised. Oh my goodness! Now what do I do? Now, and it was one of the 1 euro program houses, which usually bids up to maybe a few thousand dollars because there are people vying for it. Mm-hmm. But it's a shell. I mean, it's just the walls, and I don't think there's even a roof on it. So he's got a lot of work to do. and we looked at that. I went to Sicily with him, and we looked at that. Another friend who I will see in a couple of days, because he's in California, he bought one in the same town. This is called Sambuca. just like the drink.
Oh, like the drink, yeah.
Yeah, it's north of Shaka, a little bit north of Shaka. And he bought one, but he started looking, and then he decided, you know what? I don't really want to get one that cheap. I'd rather spend a little bit more and just, you know, have more to it, you know, more walls, a roof, you know, this sort of thing. I mean, we are going to update it. We're going to put new electric in it. And he's an architect, so he's got other plans. It's going to be great. It's going to be really cool. Sambuca is a cool little town. It got a lot of publicity because Airbnb went into Sambuca and they talked with the town and they said, look, you give us one of these houses, we're going to put 150, 200 grand into it. We're going to make it an Airbnb competition and somebody's going to win it. And they have to promise 3 months in, 3 months out for a full year to host it. Mm-hmm. A young couple won it. I think they were from Sweden or something. It was a worldwide thing. It was, and we looked at it. It was finished when we were there back in January. And then after the year, I think Airbnb, the corporation, is giving it back to the town, and then they'll probably sell that one, which is in beautiful shape. That's finished. And then, but my buddy Joe from California, which I will see in a couple of days, he went ahead and paid, man, I don't know exactly, maybe 10,000. I'm not sure if I should say that much, but it was more than, you know, a couple thousand. It was certainly more than the 1 euro idea. Now it has to, you know, it's got some windows that you could probably use for a while, but we need updating later. He gutted one of the bathrooms. And again, like I said, he's got some really wonderful ideas, but it's dry. You know, he's got a nice roof. He's got doors and locks up and, you know, there's that. So, and I'm going to look at one this weekend in Sicily. And this woman, also, it's an auction type look. Well, I go before and give them a better look at it than what's on the auction paper.
Right. Yeah.
I'll do a PowerPoint. I'll send videos. I'll send photos and I'll send some recommendations. You really need a lawyer, I feel, because like you were saying before you buy, there's this, I can't think of it. It's very similar to the word succession, successiore, or something like that. And it's the idea that, oh, I'm the brother and I own the house and I'm going to sell it to you. Yeah, well, right. There's six other brothers that own it too. So only a lawyer, I think, maybe a notaio, but someone with good legal experience can track that down. It's like getting a clear title in the state.
Yeah, I was going to say almost like a title. Yeah,
but that's where you run the risk. We have had no problems with that, but again, we use a lawyer to make sure that the person selling the house is the you know, or let's put it this way: the people, whoever is selling the house, they're all signing off on it. No one's coming back later to say, you know, I wasn't told or whatever. So anyway, and we did that twice. We did that with the Volino, the small one we have at the sea, and we did it, you know, in the bigger one we have up in the town. So there, that's the biggest risk, I would say. But when they say 1 euro, you're that's what you're getting, 1 euro, and you know, in a shell usually, or sometimes they're in the 1 euro block of houses that are for sale, but the bid goes up very quickly because it's a decent house. You know,
but still,
you're only talking maybe 25,000.
Yeah, you know? No, right.
But you're not going to get the 1 euro.
No, and it's still 25,000 for, you right. know, that's
yeah, pretty good. You're still getting a great deal. So the next question is that where you want to be?
Right.
It's location, location, location. It's the same thing. Where do you want to be? We just, you know, realized this was a gold mine because, you know, we've got the mountains. I love the nature walks, the waterfalls. The Sila has got some of the freshest air, the cleanest air, the purest air in Europe. It's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the sea. The Ionian Sea is right here, the Gulf of Squalachi. I mean, the squid that comes out of that sea is just, you know, it just came out the morning before you ate it.
Right. Yeah.
We got a lot of food. So anyways, I would say that's, you know, that's the real thing you have to look at is the succession. The people you're buying from, are they the only ones that need to be signing off? Right.
Listen, Dan, this has been very interesting and educational, and especially for anybody who's considering about, you know, either, you know, buying a place that's finished or thinking about getting something and renovating it. Lots of great information. And we'll be in touch. Hopefully our next trip we'll meet up somewhere in Calabria.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'd love that. Yeah, for sure. There's so many nice places to visit.
Absolutely, and absolutely.
Good restaurants to visit, too.
Thanks again.
Okay, Bob. Thank you. Bye.